You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome to Thailand, gang. Here we are.
I've been informed that I'm not allowed to do my Asian accent.
That is correct.
Okay, fine.
That is correct, fine. Yes.
I will just say, welcome. Is that no good?
No good.
All right, that's it.
Okay, that's it.
You're
out of your system.
I should have looked up how to say welcome in Taiwanese?
Well, that...
What do you speak in Thailand? Taiwanese?
No, Thai. Taiwanese is in Taiwan.
Oh.
Yeah, I believe.
Those aren't the same thing?
Those are not the same place, oh. Yeah. Not sure I could pick either of them
just
out
kidding,
on a map.
Just kidding, folks. I'm super culturally aware.
Well, speaking of culturally aware, this is cultural sensitivity to the max, this episode. I feel like they were
from
all
Becca
over.
Or?
From Becca, the whole gang.
Yeah.
The whole gang, really, culturally sensitive. This is the episode in which Becca says, there's something really old and cultural about interacting with a monk. So you know you're in for a good time.
I was thinking, because one of the other things that Becca says right at the beginning of the episode about Thailand is, it smells good. There's so much culture here. I'm just going to float this out there.
Okay.
Anthony Bourdain, RIP. Sadly, gone from this world.
Sure.
I think we're looking for a replacement. I'm going to
I think we found
Becca
her.
Out there
I think we found
she,
her.
Like, she really just has her pulse on a certain je ne sais quoi.
She really gets the culture,
really
the essence of the place.
She gets to be a world traveler.
Well, what I would like about it is, say she goes to Japan, she would say, we're in Japan, a whole bunch.
Just a whole bunch.
Yeah, and that would be, most of the show would just mm-hmm. be, we're in Japan. We're sitting here at a restaurant in Japan.
It smells so good.
It smells, there's so much culture here. So much culture. Yeah, so there is a lot of culture here. There's temples scattered throughout, Becca informs us. She also informs us that she is in love with two men and falling in love with a third.
I'm still trying to look up how to say welcome. Hang on a second. My computer is...
It's going too slow. It's got to keep up. We're on a breakneck pace here. This is...
Hang on, guys. It's going to be worth it.
Yeah, it's totally going to be worth it. I'm also not 100% sure that the language is called Thai. But
you said that, not me.
No, I know.
That's
what I'm saying. I know it's not called Taiwanese. So I'll carry this while your computer is scrolling along. Okay, you know who has wild and crazy chemistry?
Oh, shit. I don't know how to say this.
No, man, get the thing to...
Those aren't...
To, let's play it. Ready?
Okay, here we go, guys.
Yeah. Oh, everybody loved that. That was worth it.
Yes. I, out of cultural respect, am not going to try to say it again myself.
We'll let the computer handle that.
One more time
okay, here
for
we
our
go.
Thai listeners.
Welcome.
Welcome, our Thai listeners. We appreciate you tuning in this mm-hmm. and every week. All right. So as I was saying, who has wild and crazy chemistry? Garrett and Becca.
Garrett.
Garrett and Becca have
and
wild
Becca.
And crazy chemistry.
Yes. She
Those
says,
two.
That she, did you already say this? That she says she's in love with two men and falling in love with a third?
I did say that.
Writing's
yes.
on the wall for you.
Right, yeah. Guess who she's falling in love with? falling in and out of love with you.
Is that a song?
That's Alicia Keys, right?
Oh.
I keep on falling in and out
okay.
of love with you.
So you're allowed to do that, but I'm not allowed to do my Thai
That
impression.
Was me singing. That's just me feeling the groove of the song.
Okay. Yeah,
is that offensive?
Nope.
To get into some music?
Well, it's offensive to my ears.
Well, ooh, snap. Yeah, it is. That's true.
All right.
Okay.
She wonders if Garrett can always challenge and push her. She said, so this is when we're getting kind of just a recap of the situation, because it has been a full 6 days since we've seen these people. So obviously Becca needs to spend 20
everything.
Minutes of the episode. Yeah, just recap.
I remember nothing. Who is this? Where are we?
Jason, she says they got a slower start. I know that Jason loves me. I know that I'm falling in love with him, too. Again, sorry, big guy.
Yeah, we've seen how this plays out before. What bachelor I'm falling in love with you means, I'm not there yet.
Blake, she says she feels 100% herself, and it's effortless with him. And then she emphatically says, I am in love with Blake.
Yeah, she's been emphatic about that for a couple of weeks now, that she is. And honestly, at this point, obviously, folks, Jason gets cut. I'll go ahead and spoil this for you. It's hard to say who she's like. I feel like she almost is leaning towards Blake.
Bad feeling that they're that it's going to be Garrett, because I do think they're setting Garrett up as a little bit of the dark horse and Blake as the sure thing.
Yeah, sure,
I don't
sure.
know. I mean,
I feel like somehow we got inadvertently spoiled that it was Garrett, but
well, we knew that Garrett would make it really far,
right?
Based on the fact that they wouldn't denounce his Instagram activity.
Sure, yeah.
And I just, at this point, can't say if I know, if I don't know. I can't say who's going to get that number one spot.
Yeah, no, it's tough. It really does seem like a neck and neck race.
It's tough to abstain from the spoilers, and Us Weekly tends to just spoil it at this point.
Sure.
So I'm sure, you know, we'll figure it out.
We'll just see a photo of them together shopping at Target, and that will spoil everything.
Yeah.
Or liking terrible Instagram photos together. I guess when Becca starts liking horrible things on Instagram, that's when we know who it is.
Blake gets the first fantasy suite date. Becca says, I've missed you so freaking much. She's just like ultra Canadian.
She gets more Canadian when she leaves the country, I think.
She's so freaking much.
She's got to compensate. With Blake, the chemistry is electric, she says.
It's electric.
Boogie, 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 boogie. You gotta feel it.
They are hiking to a sacred temple, and once they go past the threshold, they cannot kiss and cannot touch. It's kind of the opposite of the fantasy suite threshold.
Ooh, it's true. Fun fact, their faces would melt off like Indiana Jones if they kissed or touched past that threshold.
Blake says that they're probably cursed if they cross, and then Blake says, you go to hell.
Yes, and we had to rewind this like 4 times for me to figure out what was going
on. Becca say, you burn up on the spot, which is, all right, Becca, that's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
But we had to keep rewinding it to see
the closed captioning, yeah.
Which also showed Blake kind of just saying under his breath, you go to hell.
Right, and then later, you're going to hell for sure, you're cursed. Blake is real into people going to hell.
I really liked the monk who got on the show and 100% made eye contact with the camera and rolled his eyes.
I love that even he knows how the reality TV game is played.
The monk is like, fuck this
shit. Right. This is ridiculous. Yeah, he's given some serious side eye. Yeah, even this monk whose job it is to love and respect all is like, I can't. I can't do this. Respect for all living things.
It's going to be a hard pass on that.
Yeah. So he gives them some advice about love.
Did we already talk about how Becca... I think you already said this, but it might bear repeating.
It bears repeating.
How Becca says, quote, there's something so old and cultural about interacting with a monk.
So old, yes.
Tell me more, Becca.
Yeah, give us... That's that Anthony Bourdain
it's
feeling.
It's just so cultural.
It's very cultural to do it. Yes, so the monk gives them some love advice. And Blake says that hearing about love sitting next to the woman I love was incredible.
So the advice specifically is that there are 4 things that you need for a happy life with your partner.
Okay.
Honesty. Okay.
Okay.
Adjustment or adaptation.
Okay.
I get that.
Yeah.
You're not going to be married to the same person, you know, for like 20 years.
Yeah.
Patience. And also... giving love And also giving not natural things.
Was that... I missed that.
That is what... What is
giving not natural things.
I mean, I think that's butt sex.
That's what the monk was telling them to do. Yeah.
Not natural things.
You gotta
things.
Give it up. Yeah.
Yep. What, I mean, is that's, it a coincidence that we get this advice about giving not natural things
right before the fantasy suite?
I don't think
yeah.
it is.
Yeah, no, good advice, monk.
I think there's a whole umbrella of activity.
That fall under not natural things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that monk was really encouraging them to get nasty in the fantasy suite.
Becca says it's so peaceful here. And Blake says that the monk was so wise.
So wise when he said that thing about butt sex.
Not natural things. Blake is still freaking out.
Yeah, he's worried that the other guys... He thinks that there's no way the other guys could have the connection that he does, but he can't be sure.
And he also keeps making the kind of strange distinction of, like, I know the other guys don't feel the same way about Becca as I do, mm-hmm. but I'm worried that Becca feels the same way about them that she does about me.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't know, he seems kind of, like, weird.
Mm-hmm. I hadn't quite put my finger on that, but you're right.
Yeah, well, he says that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I just hadn't put my finger that was particularly the anxiety.
He's also sweating profusely, and he has, like, a middle school mustache. He did.
Yeah, it's not even a joke. It's just an accurate description of what's going on with his face. Yeah.
So. Becca tells him that he has been, of all of the guys, the most solid and the most consistent, which I feel like in the Bachelor world means that this dude's coming in second place.
Yeah. Yeah. Solid, reliable. Yeah. Solid second place.
I mean, that's Becca.
Solid fallback. That's, yep. Yeah. That's right. No, that's true. That's why Ari went with her in the first place, where she seemed like the safe choice. So, oof. Yeah. I agree. I think that Blake is going to come in second in the end. At the temple, there is a bell they can ring to spread their love to everyone. Spread their love. And then at some point, a thunderstorm rolls in, and Becca says, I've always loved thunderstorms, but I think I like them even more now.
Just, that's it?
That's it. That's just, I feel like there were a lot of quotables in this one.
Is that quotable?
It's,
I don't know.
That's going on towels in the guest bath.
Doesn't mean fucking anything. I feel like Becca is one of those people that just says things mm-hmm. because she can't stand to have empty
right.
air.
Well, I guess that's what I'm getting at with the quote. Like, I don't think that means all that much, or it's very, like, cliche or sort of like...
It's not cliche.
It's meaningless.
Cat-like
yeah.
banter yes. of, like, just be quiet, you know? Becca, at one point... and I don't remember why she did this, but she knocked on wood. And then she says, I'm so superstitious. And Blake says, oh, are you? Which I just felt was like, they don't know each other at all.
Right.
You know, I feel like it was just a little moment that highlighted like, oh, right. Y'all are still virtual strangers.
Right. Almost strangers. Yeah. I would also love it if she was like, no, I'm not. I was just lying. Like, I love that question. Like, are you? Like, no, I'm not. I was teasing you.
Blake tells Becca that he's the kind of guy who, and I did think this was a good line, he looks for a reason to stay, not a reason to go.
Yeah, that is a well played, Blake. Well played. I will say, so Becca asked him, in a week and a half, you could potentially commit to me and I could potentially commit to you. Does that freak you out at all? And Blake just says, like, no, not at all. Which, like, shouldn't that freak you out a little bit?
Yeah.
That's the wrong reaction.
Yeah.
That monk would tell you that that is not a wise decision. Yeah, I wish the monk was just like, this is stupid. Like, you are not making good decisions
rolled,
with your
I
lives.
I mean, again, he rolled
sure,
his eyes.
Sure, he rolled his eyes. And maybe that's what he was saying in Thai. Like, they translated it. So maybe, you know, they translated from him saying, like, this is a stupid show. You should not do this.
So Blake and Becca are extended an invitation to the fantasy suite.
Yeah, and I had forgotten, but every time, everybody has to read the whole card.
The whole card.
The whole card.
And it's written in a handwriting that is clearly not Chris Harrison's.
Right.
I refuse to believe that that is what Chris Harrison's handwriting
Some intern
like.
Is writing those out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
After she, like, gives Chris Harrison a BJ.
Why was that part of it?
Because of... that show? What is the Lifetime
Unreal? Oh yeah, the Chet character. Oh no, the
Chris Harrison, the host character.
He's the dumb host character. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Unnatural Things.
It's gonna be our. There's our title.
That's the episode title.
So they do forego their individual rooms.
Indeed they do, yeah.
And Becca's dress is on the floor the next morning.
Yeah, whoa. The nice artful shot of the dress strewn across the floor. Classy. Blake shirtless as they're in bed together. Blake says that she makes him nervous. He never
Blake
gets
seems
nervous.
A little like solemn, mm-hmm. a little somber. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I feel like he's definitely at the point where he's not going to relax until it's over.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I got nothing else.
I got nothing else too. Jason. He said I didn't need last night to prove that I was in love with you.
But I'm glad that I had it.
But I'm glad I got it.
I didn't need it, but I wanted it. All right. Okay. Jason. Poor bastard.
I know.
So I feel like Jason, in my notes, I wrote that he has just become a Joey Tribbiani like parody. His hair is like extra slicked back. I just feel like he's more. He
this
was
is
more
his
of,
vacation
like, a character.
Hair. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
In this episode, he runs up and he yells, "How you doing, baby?" they appear to crash a geisha like street dance. These women are doing like a street performance, and then all of a sudden Jason and Becca are just in there being like clueless.
Right. So much culture here. Yeah. Something so old and cultural about this dance.
Oh.
They eat some crickets. That's what you do when you're in Thailand. You eat crickets.
They're really stepping outside the box. Did Anthony Bourdain ever do that? Probably not.
Probably not. Actually, he probably did. They are smoky, salty, a little crispy. Oh, and there's the leg, they say. Jason says of Becca, "I love how charismatic she is." I don't think that would be on my list of the top 20 adjectives I would use to describe Becca.
Well, it doesn't start with a B.
That's part of the problem.
I could list 10 adjectives for Becca that start with a B.
Okay, let's go.
Boring.
One.
Basic.
Two.
Bland.
Three.
Brunette.
Four.
Boring. I already said that. All right, I got it. That's four.
Okay, that's four. We're on our way. Okay,
that's pretty good. Keep I feel counting. Like there's one that, like, a really obvious one.
We'll get there. We'll get it.
I mean, I can think of other B words: bossy, bitchy. I don't feel
right.
Like
none of those. Yeah.
Things. Bland. I already said
you said
that.
Bland. Yeah. Okay. We'll get back to it. Yeah. So if we got four, I can think of four B adjectives that describe
anyway,
Becca.
Anyway, it's not charismatic.
No. I don't think that she's charismatic at all. She does have a little freak out in the middle of the day. Are we there already?
Yeah, I think we're there.
Yeah.
So they are hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
And they go to a building that has, like, really ornate architecture. And Becca makes a comment of, like, "Do you want this back home in your apartment?" And he's like, "Yeah, totally, in Seattle." And then Becca just, like, loses her mind. So one of the things that I don't like about Becca as the Bachelorette, and this is a problem that, frankly, a lot of them have, bachelors and bachelorettes, she's just not good at like expressing how she feels in the moment. She's not very eloquent.
Right.
And so she just keeps saying that she feels weird. And the producers are like, "Let's go sit in the shade." So it's a really weird moment of like,
right. Is she having heat stroke? Yeah. What's going on? Is the cricket having a bad reaction? Yeah.
And clearly at this point, I thought it was very clear that Jason was just going to be quiet.
Yeah, he's donezo at this point, you know. Well, but weirdly, so that happens, and then they like cut to commercial, and they come back, and it's night.
Mm-hmm.
And like they just blow past
it's
the
like,
freak
did
out.
Did she just like go back and was like, "Hey, sorry.
Everything's good.
I had to find the loo.
Had to eat another cricket." Now she's British. British! Number five.
No,
that doesn't count.
British Columbian.
There you go.
I actually thought that was an interesting scene, because it does show you how much I think they just have to rely at this point on like gut feelings and instinct.
Right.
Because she's right. Like, Jason is a really great guy. There's nothing that would differentiate or give her a specific reason for liking Blake more than Jason, you know?
Right.
If anything, Blake is, or Jason, I think, is a lot cuter.
I know,
but she just says, like, this, the instant that she made a comment about the future, she wanted to take it back. And I feel like when that happened for her, then it was like, you can't undo that, you know?
Right. Well, and I actually feel like this was an interesting situation. So first of all, my take was that Jason handled this whole thing extremely well.
He did.
Very classy.
Let's be clear. It's because he wants to be the bachelor.
Sure. Well, but in the moment, I feel like, do you have your head on that much? You know?
Guess maybe not. You know,
in the,
true.
No, like,
he
in
did.
The talking
no,
heads.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, he really was... handled it in a classy way. And Becca, honestly, I agree with you. I mean, she was really hard on herself, but it's not there, you know? I mean, I think that of these three guys, Jason is the best one. But if you're not feeling it, you're not feeling it. If you want that electric chemistry that you have with Blake, or that wild and crazy fun that you have with Garrett. Yeah, I mean, this was, it's kind of like...
More fun than any other couple on the planet.
On the planet. This is kind of like the Leo situation where they're just like, yep,
there's
we're
no
not
reason, but if you're not feeling it,
yeah.
And you're right. I mean, because I think that, so what happens is they go out to the night date, and poor Jason is like, I feel good.
Yeah, oh, poor guy.
Becca
yeah.
says that she owes it to Jason to see if she can get it back on track. So I do feel like she does kind of like due diligence of seeing, like, maybe it was just a weird moment. But then, you know, Jason just starts talking about how he feels about her, and I feel like Becca, in my notes, I said she just looks like she's gonna throw up.
Right.
Like, she
right.
looks sick.
Yeah.
She walks away. She says she needs a minute.
She always needs a minute. Yeah.
I just need a minute.
Just need a minute.
She says that she feels like she can't breathe. So then she comes back and basically breaks it off with him. And I mean, again, I thought that Jason did a good job of not, he doesn't get angry, he doesn't
right.
lash out at her, but at the same time, he is kind of like, what the fuck, dude?
Right, like what's up? Yeah, yeah, like genuinely, I want to know what's going on. But that, I think that's what I mean about him handling it well, is he isn't just like, all right, peace, or like,
well,
getting
I
mad.
Think there's a weird moment where he's kind of like, maybe we should see what happens, like, if we get a little more time.
Sure,
like,
yeah. Maybe let's see what happens in the old fantasy
maybe
suite.
Maybe we see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then tell me how you feel
yeah,
about
I mean,
me.
The girls were telling Becca to take him to the fantasy suite. Yeah, because she says, I can't put you through an overnight and put me through an overnight if it's not 100% there. I imagine Jason would beg to differ on that one. No, it's okay. I'll be fine.
He tells her that he hopes she finds her happiness, and she says, I hope you find it too, to which he replies, sure.
That was great. Yeah, that's also, I feel like he handled this well too, because he wasn't like, he was, you could tell he cares about the relationship and cares about Becca, but he wasn't like falling apart either. Like, I feel like he kept his dignity intact.
Yes.
The whole time. So, yeah. Yeah, and then Becca was just like beating herself up, said she did the same thing. She said, I literally just did to him what Ari did to me.
No, you didn't.
No, that's incorrect.
That's not the same thing.
Yeah, that's not right at all. Yeah, you literally just did to him what the program forces you to do to people.
I feel like Becca has done a good job of like learning from the mistakes of how Ari made her feel. You
sure.
know, like there's a point later in the episode where she makes a point to say, I'm not going to say I love you until the last
until
guy.
There's one guy
and
left.
And I think that that's a really good choice.
It's a great choice. Yeah, and that's, we've learned that from what, Nick made that mistake,
Ben
Ari
Higgins.
Made that mistake.
I feel
mistake.
Like they're
ben,
all
yeah.
doing it now.
Right.
So I think it's refreshing to see Becca be like, nope, I'm saving that for the final person.
Right, and to deliberately save that for the final person. Yeah, no, I think that's great.
Because I think that, I mean, we've talked about this before a million times. Like, that has to be terrible for the person even who gets chosen to know, right. like, well, 2 days before I was saying I love you to the other person, too.
Right. No, that's a good point.
I feel like, if anything, even if it's just for self-preservation after mm-hmm. the show ends, like, just don't say it.
Right. Right. No, that's absolutely true.
Anyway, she does seem very apologetic mm-hmm. for ending it in this way
sure.
with poor Jason.
I get this. I mean, she genuinely doesn't want to hurt him. I think she genuinely likes him and does want him to find success, happiness in his life.
All right.
But not with her.
Not in the fantasy suite, sadly.
All right. Poor Jason. And poor Becca, too. I think that Jason was pretty good in the sack. That's my guess. Usually, I feel like I'm not going to get real raunchy on this fan, though we are. I guess we already did the unnatural things.
Oh, you had to apologize to my mom.
I know. Yeah, I really offended your mom a couple of Fantasy Suite episodes yep. ago. So I'm going to try to keep
had
it clean
to reel
this
it
time.
In.
Yep. Rein myself in. Also, this was a pretty boring Fantasy
it
Suite
was.
Episode.
I'm just going to make a blanket comment, guys. This season blows.
Yeah, it's been boring. As soon as like the antics stopped with like the Jordan David, I mean, if the highlight of the season is a dude falling off a bunk bed, that's when you know you've got a weak season on your hands.
I feel like Becca's not a great carrier for the show, and I mean, I do think that the people that are left are good matches for her, but Becca's
right.
boring. So
right.
the guys that she's choosing are boring.
Well, that's the thing. Other than Jason,
I don't even
the interesting
feel like any
guys.
Of them are, like, they're not that good looking.
Yeah.
I'm not even getting any eye candy.
I know. Come on. That's what you
Paradise
should get a little
better
bit more.
Amp it up.
Paradise better deliver with Joe the Grocer. Oh, Joe the Grocer will deliver.
I hope.
Yeah.
All right. Becca and Garrett go bamboo rafting. It is a national Thai holiday, and the river is packed. There is an elephant also bamboo rafting.
And he's mad, too. What are all these people doing here? I just wanted some time by myself. Becca tells Garrett he is a natural bamboo rafter. This is when Becca starts saying a bunch, "We're in Thailand right now."
Yeah.
We're in Thailand.
Can you believe it? We're in Thailand.
No, I can't.
We're in Thailand. And she does it when they wake up, too. Can you believe we're waking up in Thailand?
And she keeps adding things. Under a roof, listening to the rain.
In Thailand. I mean, I don't know. They navigate the river together. I do feel like that. I say this often, that something is my nightmare date. I don't like situations like that. So, I mean, props to them for kind of still having fun.
They're
with
keeping it.
It
together.
Also, like, Bachelor producers, do your fucking homework. How do you not know that it's a national holiday and that the river's going to be fucking packed?
Did they, I couldn't tell if they did that on purpose or not.
Know.
Yeah, because I could see it either way. Just they didn't do any research, or they're like, yeah, this will be funny to throw them into this situation.
If they did it for the latter, I mean, you and I have talked about how there's like something kind of lurking under the surface of Garrett.
Oh, yeah. Like that they shouldn't want to set that off, you know?
Yeah,
like,
no, or that they want to almost.
Oh, I
like,
see.
I feel like
they're
he's
trying
so
to push.
Even keeled, and I don't know. I just feel like Garrett is.
I get a weird vibe from him.
I get a Norman Bates vibe.
A boy's best friend is his mother.
I do get a weird vibe from him. I think that he is protesting too much, trying to sell himself too much as like, I'm just a super happy guy.
Yeah.
Like, okay,
nobody's that happy.
I want to hear from your ex-wife.
Right, sure. Yeah, but she'll be yelling and screaming all the time. It's
her
fault.
Because she's just a bitch.
It's all her fault. So they head out to their dinner date. Becca says tonight is needed to dig deeper. I bet it is, Becca.
What do you mean?
It's a euphemism.
For what?
Just, you know, use your imagination. For doing it. That's what it's a euphemism for. By the way, we did not get to hear Jason say Bexter. At all on this one. Yeah, now we'll never get to hear it
again. Garrett says at one point on this date, I don't even remember if this was in the night or the day section, but I did want to comment on it just because I thought it was so great, that quote, "I'm not just someone to speak on something and then take it back. I want to make sure that it's 100% right."
I remember that, yes.
I guess not on Instagram.
Right, though. Yeah, you're going to take that back immediately.
So the guy whose excuse for liking, you know, anti-trans and
anti-immigrant,
yeah, all of those things was just like, "I just click through and like stuff. I don't look at it and I don't think about it.
I take it all back."
"I want to make 100% sure that what I say is 100% right." Well, which is it, Garrett?
Yeah, which is it? You know, though, something that I noticed when they did that rafting date was it. Do you feel like there's a metaphor for a relationship in like
something
a rafting
about
trip
like
that?
Navigating a river?
Yeah, and like it's kind of like a relationship. Yeah, I think there's probably something there. I wish they would have commented on that explicitly, but. Hmm. You know, really made that subtext.
It's really not
in the text.
Like the show to be so on the nose.
Right, to really literalize all the metaphors like that.
I mean, Becca likes Garrett. She says that she sees her heart's equal in him. Someone who will make a great father, a great husband. Yeah, I don't know. I ended this week's episode just feeling. From the feeling that I get, feeling like she's going to choose him.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. She says that they, when she wakes up, that they took leaps in their relationship in the fantasy suite.
Unnatural things indeed. Yeah. Garrett.
Unnatural things.
Garrett also says that both, "She makes me feel so good all the time and I can be 100% myself around her, but also she's making me become a better man." Seems like these things are mutually exclusive, but never mind.
Just like, I can be myself.
But also I need to be a better man at the same time.
Can't find a better man. You're not the only one who can sing.
I invite you to sing. I invite singing on the podcast. Our fans love it.
Stay tuned for our all-musical podcast. Ryan's got some songs from Rent that he wants to lay down on y'all.
525,600 minutes. See, I know all the songs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fun fact, Ryan hates Rent.
Hates Rent.
Hates it.
It. That is a fun fact.
fun I hate fact. Your dumb face. How about that?
Also a fun fact. Garrett says, "It would be incredible to have this feeling I'm feeling right now for the rest of my life."
What is that from? "I hate you and your bitch face." What is that?
That's Corky
that
waiting from
for Waiting
for
Guffman.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he says it would be incredible to have this feeling for the rest of his life. That's how relationships work. The feeling that you have immediately upon going into it, that's how you feel forever.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that, that's been your experience with me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Though I guess you were kind of annoyed with me at the beginning and you still are. So, you know, that actually would be an accurate thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Last night was the greatest date of my entire life. I just feel like Garrett seems like an 8-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Though he's also like having sex.
Well, that Colton.
He's like Tom Hanks's character in Big when he finally sleeps with Elizabeth Perkins.
Oh, man. Yeah, because Garrett was like, "I haven't smiled this much since I was a little boy having family time." Oh, man. In the final episode, the big twist this season is that she chooses him and then he shrinks back down into like a 13-year-old boy.
Second twist, it's Colton.
Before and after. Oh, man. All right.
Anyway,
so where are we?
Boring,
boring, boring.
Jason comes back.
Yeah.
To get clarification on the breakup. But for a little bit, when he comes back, you and I both thought that they were going to just make him go through the rose
right.
ceremony.
We got to make this thing official. Yeah, because I said, wait, what?
Yeah, right.
I was genuinely shocked.
Partner.
Spitting all over the mic.
Just,
yeah.
It gets a
little abrasive to the ears.
It's a little bit.
Yeah.
As someone who generally re-listens to the podcast with headphones on, I'm here to tell you, you can back it up a little bit.
Back it up a notch. Beep, beep, beep.
He says he's not ready to let it end. And God, the poor guy made a scrapbook.
I know. Yeah, well, I guess, yeah, he had to give her that scrapbook that he had
what,
already
did
made.
Did he have to?
Just burn it. He should have burned it.
I mean, get rid of it.
Yeah.
somebody breaks up with you and then you're like, oh, by the way,
here's our memories. Though that is a, like a twist of the knife. Like, look at how great this was.
And then Becca just has to sit there and look at it and cry.
Yeah. Yeah, what else? Let's see.
I mean, nothing. Blake.
She says the world needs more Jasons. Damn straight it does, Becca.
The Bachelor world.
Yeah.
Bachelor Nation.
Needs more Jasons.
Doesn't need more Jasons. It needs Jasons specifically.
The Jason.
So Jason has on his Instagram feed, which, by the way, he scrubbed clean and started over for the show. Pretty smart.
Yeah, good move.
He posted like a black and white photo that was like with a long comment about how much he's learned, how he still believes that love is out there. I mean, we get it, dude.
Sure. It's almost like he wants another chance at love. Yeah, that he has a really compelling story to tell the
world. Like, I'm in favor. I think Jason is funny and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
You could do a lot. I would much rather have Jason than either of the other two wahoos that are left.
Yeah, or Colton. God, can you imagine Colton running this show? This shit show?
Let's build Legos.
Let's make a pillow fort.
Have you ever been to Build-A-Bear? My mom took me, but it was too crowded.
We had to go.
We had to pay $27 because that's my age.
We had to go to Wetzel's Pretzels instead. So to continue the theme of cultural sensitivity, they have the rose ceremony in a temple. That's classy. It's sacred space for a sacred event.
Well, according to Becca, there's just temples everywhere in Thailand.
Everywhere.
You can't walk without stepping on a temple.
It also appears from the little gag reel at the end that Blake pees on this side of the temple.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's nice.
You're welcome.
You're welcome from America. This is from Trump's America.
America.
Oh.
You want to let us come over and film in your country? We're going to piss on your temple.
All right.
You're fired, Thailand.
So let they both get roses.
Yep.
And they're going to meet the Kufrin Johnson clan.
The Kufrin Johnsons? Oh my gosh. Oy vey. Oh. And they're going to the Maldives, which I'm super jealous about.
Super jelly.
Jelly.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
I've had nothing. Mintel
all next week.
Yeah, there's a reason this one is 36 minutes.
It's
because it's real boring.
So now we're going to have a 10-minute
sing-off.
Interlude of just kind of a Rent montage. And go.
In moments, in kitties.
Is that the only song you know?
In piping hot cups of coffee. No, take me out tonight.
Oh my God.
Is that right? Is that the tune?
Let's do a Bachelor parody. In roses.
In sunsets. In hot tub makeout sessions.
Oh, God.
We probably should have killed this thing when we had the chance. All right. Well, gang, we'll see you next week for the Men Sing All. Oh, love, measure your love in love.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.